Well, this morning's reading and lesson comes from Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. And I'm reading it this morning from the Message. Hear God's word. Get out of bed, Jerusalem. Wake up. Put your face in the sunlight. God's bright glory has risen for you. The whole earth is wrapped in darkness. All people sunk in deep darkness. But God rises on you. His sunrise glory breaks over you. Nations will come to your light, kings to your sunburst brightness. Look up. Look around. Watch as they gather. Watch as they approach you. Your daughters carried by their nannies. When you see them coming, you'll smile, big smiles. Your heart will swell and, yes, burst. All those people returning by sea for the reunion, a rich harvest of exiles gathered in from the nations, and then streams of camel caravans as far as the eye can see, young camels of nomads in Midian and Ephah pouring in from the south from Sheba, loaded with gold and frankincense, preaching the praises of God. May God give us understanding. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. Have you ever had a time when you felt totally in the dark? Maybe it was a time when you were actually in the dark and could see nothing. Do you have any memories or recollections as a child or maybe even as an adult? I have a hunch most of us do. One of my memories of being in the dark was a while back, one winter, when just before dinner, Tim and I were sitting down to watch the news and the power went out. Everything was dark. We sat there for a couple of minutes, waiting for it to come back on because we have power surges all the time and typically it's off for a minute or two and then it comes back on. But we sat and we waited and there was no light and there was no power. And as we peeked around, we could see the whole neighborhood was in darkness. Even the streetlights were out. So of course our next step was to try to find the flashlight, which thankfully was next to the toaster where we try to leave it when we remember. So we got the flashlight and started nosing around, in the process tripping and stumbling and stubbing our toes. And then next step, of course, was to light some candles so that we could spread them around and get a little light in the house. So now what to do about dinner? Stove not working, not knowing how long it would be out. Would have loved to run out for pizza at that point, but fortunately we had the grill. Tim had something to throw on the grill. So we continued. We found ways to make light and to make light of the circumstances. And it didn't turn out so bad. But you know, darkness covers us in so many, many ways. And there's a reason why it is such a strong symbol. Imagine if things had been different. If we weren't in our comfortable home, if we didn't have access to that handy flashlight and candles and other things, if we were out in a foreign place stumbling around, not knowing our way, not knowing what enemies or what wild beasts or creatures were out beyond us, not knowing where we might stumble and fall. But that happens not just in places, it happens in our lives, where we can feel totally lost in darkness, where we feel like we can't see or understand what's going on, where we feel that even at times a sense of hopelessness and abandonment. Well, in this part of the passage, what we hear is we hear these lost people, when Isaiah is giving them hope, it's a time of change. It's the happy ending, in a sense, of a long struggle, of time in exile, of time being slaves, of time being lost and broken in a dark world, a world of evil, a world of pain, a world of suffering. In fact, if we go back just a little bit previously, it's a wonderful passage in chapter 58. It talks about a full life in the emptiest of places. And it says, if you get rid of unfair practices, if you quit blaming victims, if you quit gossiping about other people's sins, if you're generous with the hungry and start giving yourselves to the down and out, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Your shadowed lives will be bathed in the sunlight. And I will always show you where to go. It continues, I'll give you life in the emptiest of places, firm muscles, strong bones. You'll be like a well-watered garden, a gurgling spring that never runs dry. You'll use the old rubble of past lives to build anew, rebuild the foundation from out of your past. You'll be known as those who can fix anything, restore old ruins, rebuild and renovate, make the community livable again. And that spoke to me for many reasons. As we've been talking about, we're in a time of change and a time of discovery. We're living in a world that is filled with darkness. And many in the church don't know how to react to it. They don't know who we're supposed to be, what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm not just talking here. I'm talking about all churches everywhere. These are dark times. And in many cases, the church has lost its way to some degree or feels like it's in the dark. But we need not worry because we have a God who continues generation after generation after generation to bring his people through the dark and into the light. Now, maybe we need that time in darkness because it's easy for us to forget. We put our value in things that aren't really important. We lose sight. We think we see, but we don't. I'm reminded of the story of back in, years ago in 1608, the settlers at Jamestown, Virginia. They were new in the country, and they thought they had discovered gold. And they were so excited that they thought they had all this wealth that was going to be available to them. So they used all their resources to be digging for this gold, getting this gold out. And they forgot about almost everything else. And winter was approaching, the other things. But they figured, if we get this gold, we're going to have what we need. So this is where we need to put our priorities. So they dug it all out. They put it on a ship. They sent it over to England. And what did they find out? Fool's gold. It wasn't gold at all. It was iron pyrite. And they were sorely disappointed. The only thing that saved them that winter was the Indians who took pity on them, helped them get through because they had not put their time into sowing their plants and caring for animals and other things, so they had no source of food or other things. Everything had gone into digging for what they thought was gold. And friends, you and I, we get sucked in all the time to similar kinds of things. Things that seem so good. And I'm sure in their minds, it was a wise thing to do. They thought, if we just get this gold out, well then we can help other people. We can not only take care of our needs, but we can help the poor. We can do this. They justified it all in their minds. And we do the same thing all the time. And so, as hard as it might seem, times of darkness can actually be a gift in our lives. I know that's certainly been the case in my life. And I've seen it in others as well. Those times of darkness bring us centered. They force us to stop everything that we're doing because we can't see where we're going. We can't see, and if we can't see, we know that if we try, we're going to stumble and fall. And it forces us, those dark times, it forces us to look for the light. And the light, my friends, is Jesus Christ. There is no other light in our lives that has any real meaning. Everything else is the fool's gold. But we're not just to use that light for ourselves. That light is to be shared. And just as Tim and I found the flashlight but didn't stop there and went on to light those other candles to spread the light, so we, once we find that light, are to share it with others and to continue to just keep passing it on and multiplying it. We have a God who is with us in the emptiest of places. There's another passage in this, and it says that God looked and he saw evil looming on the horizon. So much evil and no sign of justice. He couldn't believe what he saw. Not a soul around to correct the awful situation. So he did it himself. He took on the work of salvation fueled by his own righteousness. I have a hunch that God is looking around and seeing evil on the horizon even now. But we have his salvation. We have his light. And that's enough. My friends, even in this current darkness, we have a bright hope. So let's take this opportunity. Let's center on what's important. Let's set aside the things that are not according to his purpose, that are not consistent with what he calls us to. Let's keep seeking and following that light. Let us pray. Almighty God, every generation has seen its dark times. And we pray, Lord, that in our dark times, that they will push us to seek you, to follow you, and to stay faithful to you, even as you have ever been faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.